Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
When you look back, in this is what we're told to do, is imitate those that have gone before us. And especially those who walked in bold faith. And you think about, you know, God is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. And so when you see Israel, you're hearing about Jacob. But understand this, Jacob, through the wisdom of God, understood the importance of vision. He understood it. He was in a dilemma because it appeared that he had gotten things the wrong way, even though ultimately he was the one that was supposed to have it. It's really, I mean, God makes sure that when he does something, no man gets credit for it. Everybody's going, well, maybe it's you, maybe it's you. And he goes off and has to leave town, and he goes to work for his uncle. And his uncle is just very demanding, and he falls in love with his daughter. And he's going, man, I want to marry her, right, Rachel? Mm-hmm. And of course, his father goes, okay, great, wonderful. Work for me 7 years. Can you imagine telling an American that? You work here for 7 years. I don't even live in a place for 7 years. Yeah. We move every five.
All right.
At least used to. And work here for 7 years, and then you can marry her. Can you imagine how loved a woman feels if you would have worked 7 years for her?
Wow.
7 years for her. Some man says, I've been working my whole life for her.
Yeah, right. Right.
No, so he worked 7 years, and his boss, this was also his uncle, his name is Laban, he carries his daughter into the tent, and it's dark, it's nighttime, and all that kind of stuff. And he says, there she is, she's right there for you. So he goes into this dark place, and he's so excited because in his heart and in his head, he's in love with Rachel. Mm-hmm. And he goes in the tent, and they have marital relations and all that type of stuff. But then the sun comes up. He looks over her, and he's going like, what are you doing in here? What's going on? You're not Rachel.
It was more like, what's happening with that eye?
She said, my name is Leo. My name is Leo.
And
Dad was worried that I wouldn't marry off, so he married me first to you.
Goes on to him. He walks, I was just shocked. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I mean, like, think about it. Oh my goodness. We've got to invent electricity. Where's Benjamin Franklin? We need him.
Right. Right, right. Exactly.
And so he goes and talks to his boss and his uncle, and he goes, dude, what's up? What have you done here? Because at that time, when you actually had sex with a lady, and a man, that would be becoming one. You're knowing each other. That's marriage. Mm-hmm. And it still is today. Just the world has changed the vocabularies, but understand that God's going to hold us accountable for those type of things. You know, it's adultery, fornication, all that. So he says, oh, don't worry about it. Worry about it? I got this woman in my house. Don't worry about it. You can have Rachel, but you're going to need to work for me another 7 years. Mm. And he went ahead and took Leah and Rachel. Isn't that amazing?
Mm.
Yeah. Where do you work? I work at Laban's place.
Yeah, right.
Meet my wife, Rachel. Hello. And Leah.
Hey, how you doing?
And anyway, so this is what he begins to say. You know, I have a vision for being out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to work somewhere else. I want to go back to my other land, but I'm going to need sheep. I'm going to need my own flock and all that. And he said, how about because you have all these sheep here, how about if I get just the spotted and the speckled and the striped sheep? You know, you keep all the white ones and all that. Talking to his boss, and there wasn't hardly any at all, if any, striped, spotted, or speckled, because it was a good flock. And of course, Laban says, seeing that he doesn't obviously not going to have many, he's like, yeah, you can have that. You can have
the
that.
The deal, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is the deal, exactly, the deal.
Yeah.
And so then, understanding vision, understanding he knew where he wanted to go, he knew what he needed to get there, but now he had to show the vision to the sheep. This is how it works. You got to hold the vision in front of them, right? And keep holding it there. And so what he did was, since he wanted spotted, speckled, and striped sheep, he had these white, the regular sheep that would go down to this watering hole, and he took sticks. He took some sticks, and he carved them up to make them look visually like a spotted. One's a spotted one, one's a speckled one, one's a striped one. So every time the sheep would go to the church gathering, no, every time the sheep would go to the watering hole where the Holy Spirit's speaking to them, you're showing them the vision. Then, because he understood this, these sheep that were not spotted, speckled, or striped, they started giving birth to spotted, speckled, and striped sheep because he understood vision. Mm. I mean, there were so many spotted, speckled, and striped sheep that were birthed from these sheep that weren't spotted, speckled, and striped, and that don't happen, by the way. And with that, that Laban became jealous. Like, all this wealth, that's called wealth, this wealth that you've gotten here, and literally, when he left with great wealth because he had a vision. He had a vision. He knew how to put the vision up. As a matter of fact, he tells us very specifically in the Word of God, not he, but the Word of God tells us through the prophet Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, he says, listen, write down the vision and make it plain on tablets. Okay, this stick's going to be spotted, this stick's going to be striped, and this one's going to be speckled. Write down the vision and make it plain on tablets so that a herald can run with it. If you're the only one that knows it, that's not a vision, that's an idea. Mm-hmm. It has to be other people can grab it and they can run with it. For the revelation or the vision awaits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end. That's what he wanted, right? He wanted spotted, speckled, striped sheep. He didn't have any. So he went ahead and wrote out the vision on the sticks, what he wanted. So that spoke how it was going to be in the end. That's how it became. So for the revelation awaits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it lingers, Jacob, that's going to take you 14 years to get through all this. Though it linger, wait for it will certainly come, and it will not delay. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't that powerful?
Wow.
And it's like, you know, when God begins to do something in your life and he's putting vision in front of you, and if you push, I don't want to be, you push that away and push it away. It's like, this is a process. This is how things work. God shows us where he wants us to go. We begin to soak in the watering of his spirit, and in the process of that bursts out of our life. What happens? The watering hole for us is the Holy Spirit. By the way, we are the sheep. He is our shepherd. Mm-hmm. We're not literal sheep. That's what he uses to describe us. And that's how vision works. He tells us very specifically in his word. So if you're ready to get out of Laban's workplace, if you're ready to get out of a Laban relationship, that if you're ready to get beyond Leah, then listen, go back and imitate those that have gone before us.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham has reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love him and adore him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom and the Word of God, the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Little Lord Jesus, asleep on the hill.
And, but you know, y'all remember, Jefferson Bethke, you remember where he had the I hate religion, but he loves God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has a new one out called Counterfeit God. Uh-huh. And it's so powerful because we're talking about, you know, the perspective of the church, you know, and you got to hear this. I want to play this for you so you can hear. It's going to be available today on the VFN Torch. And I just love his perspective. It's a spoken word. You'll hear him speak, out. And just a young man that's got a passion for God. His gift is a spoken word. And he talks, he confronts the church in his last one that he had done. And now he's talking about counterfeit gods. Matter of fact, listen up.
You might say, I don't believe in God, but the Bible says not possible. See, everyone has a God, whether or not it's the God of the gospel. You might not believe in God, but everyone has that one thing that's king. Even the dictionary defines God as whatever we make supreme. Because it's a theme, it's a thread. You see it inside all human beings, the fact that we all worship. And no, it's not just about singing. Now I know you like, Jeff, I don't worship. I put that on the shelf, but I say technically we all worship. We just worship ourselves. See, we all worship something. To an object, we're all liable. Ladies, to some, your boyfriend is your God, and Cosmo is your Bible. Yet, we mock and we laugh at the Israelites' golden calf, but we do the same thing right back. It just looks a little different than that. So, question, what's on your throne? See, what do you chase so that you don't feel alone? See, what defines you? What do you give ultimate worth? And what, if taken, would bring ultimate hurt? Now, see, that is your God. And all of us, we've sacrificed deep joy for shallow happiness. To be honest, we look like fools. We're like full-grown adults in the kiddie pool going, oh my goodness, guys, this is like so cool. Because we're slaves to our possessions. We're always craving something new. Reality check. If you can't give it up, you don't own it. It owns you. And that's why the Bible, it says we're spiritual prostitutes. In fact, it even says we're worse, because at least prostitutes get paid for their works. All we get paid is a hearse. And that's why worship, it's not just behavior. It goes way into our core. So ask, what is your God? What do you bow down before? For example, some of us, we don't worship God, but we worship what he said. We got theology in our head, but in our hearts, poor, pitiful, naked, and dead. Or some of us worship in stadiums, or some of us worship in bars. Some of us worship our possessions, while some of us worship our cars. See, some of us worship science, while some of us worship the arts, but I don't care what clothes your idol's wearing, the disease is the heart. Or my favorite is those guys who say, Jeff, I'm a man because I'm in control. Okay, then tell me why can't you stop having sex with your hand while staring at your MacBook Pro? Or what about those guys who trade their wives for their jobs at work, give more time to their boss than their actual wives' needs or hurts? And ladies, no guy can love you more than Jesus already has. So stop putting your worth in Magic Mike. He's so much better than that. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, Jeff, are you saying that we should hate money, hate alcohol, and never have sex? No, but I'm saying God created those all to be enjoyed in their proper context. But I want to transition. I want to make a spiritual incision. Can we really say these things are the ultimate purpose of living? I mean, instead of worshiping the creator of you and I, we've all said, screw you, God, I'll take your stuff, but you can die. But that trade is terrible, trading God for man. It's like God offers us water, and we say, but God, this is such good sand. Or my friends, they'll say, Jeff, a God that requires me to give up something, I just can't fathom. Yet most of us seem fine giving up everything for a quick orgasm. I mean, am I the only one who's felt the gnawing within? Am I the only one who's felt the weight of my own sin? But see, here's what's unique. Go ahead and critique, but if you hear anything, hear this one thing that I speak. Where we exchange ourselves for God thinking we could be Him, He exchanged Himself for us, absorbing all our sin. I mean, God literally put on flesh, and do you see how we treated Him? The ultimate war veteran, because He was killed for our freedom. Nonetheless, He was thinking of you and me with every whip that beat Him, knowing full well we'd still go, nah, I don't really need Him. But like a father, He couldn't bear His children to not be free. So He thought up that tree, paid our fee for specks of dirt like you and me. So my plea is let Him restore His proper place. I promise He loves you right now. Just trust in His grace, because before I leave, I'll leave you with this. What are those other things took nails in their wrists? Or how about when's the last time money or sex forgave you? When's your boyfriend set you free from all you're enslaved to? See, what else died so that you could be made new? Or when's the last time the world promised satisfaction and actually came through?
So true, the church. He's talking to the ones who caught God's eye. He's talking to us. Mm-hmm. And it's so true if we apply the principles and understand that everybody has a God.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, who is it?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it?
What is it?
If only 3% of America, the American church, says, God, you gave me this job, you gave me this increase, and we give Him His tithe and His offerings, then He's our God.
Mm.
But if we say, I cannot afford to acknowledge you are the one who gave this to me.
Mm.
And so I cannot give you any of what you gave me. Then we say, money's God.
Mm.
And the mercies of God is that He would even let us still have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm.
Mm. This is such a now word. It's such a now word for our perspective that if we apply the principles and what you're even here with Jefferson and what he's talking about, and we're going to make that available to you today on the VFN Torch, that listen, let God's Spirit confront you. Just be confronted. You know, it's amazing. It took me a long time to realize people avoid confrontation.
They don't want to be. Mm-hmm. They don't want, you know, mm-hmm. where I'm like, talk to me. I want to hear. Give me some feedback. People aren't like that. Nope. They're going like, no, I have no problem. I have no idea that my leg's dragging behind me. I don't mm-hmm. even know it. And I just don't talk about it. Or not only is the elephant in the room, the elephant sitting on you in the room, and they're going like, don't see it. Don't talk about it. You know, and it's like, but, your life is miserable, and the people are miserable around you, and that God loves you, and that, you know, that. But this is a battle for your heart. He's, you know, like Jefferson's saying, you know, the disease is not a matter of the flesh. The disease is a matter of the heart. And you think about dis-ease, where things are easy. And so your easy is no longer easy. It's been dissed. It's dis-eased. And you're anxious, and you're nervous, and you're worried, and you're concerned, because all of your gods are about to fall. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a religion. Maybe, you know, it's money. You know, maybe your God is America. Maybe you made God, America your God. You know, maybe you made your denomination a God. You know, maybe you made, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you know, it's amazing what people, maybe you've made your digital device God.
Mm.
You know, and how you know is that when you do without it, how do you respond to that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I really believe what's about to happen in America is there's going to be a God check. You know, things are going to stop for a little bit. So that, God, he says, the reason why I took you in the wilderness, we told Israel, the reason why I took my people in the wilderness is to reveal what was in your heart. Now, he knew what was in their heart, but they didn't know what was in their heart. But when you get into a place that you no longer have your loaves, your garlic, your fishes, your idol, all the different things that you have in your life, you find out that, hey, you know, and you may find out, like, I don't even know God. I knew of God, and I was very religious, but if I knew him, I would know he's with me now, but now I'm saying things like, I'm all alone, and there's nobody here for me, and I lost all my stuff, and God's going like, didn't you tell everybody that you had me?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you tell everybody I'm the one that gave you that job?
That's right.
And if I'm the one that gave you that job, can't I give you another job? Can't I take you into the wilderness and take everything from you and give you over to your lover so they don't want you anymore? And then finally you're left with nothingness, and then I could begin to whisper in your ear and restore. Can't I restore you and begin mm-hmm. to give things back to you one at a time to begin to show that, hey, I am the one that gave you the stuff before. It wasn't your lovers, but it was actually me who did it. And that's how God works.
Mm.
That's Hosea chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is a process of God, and understand that it's a God check. You know, and it's sort of like this. If you're going to go into the military, you know, and you're going to go into boot camp, if you want to be prepared for it, you know, you start, you know, exercising. You know, you cut your hair, go ahead and cut it. Everybody always thinks that they cut it short, but when they get, they find out there is shorter. I think I can see my neuroceptors in my brain for the hair. And that.
My ears got so big.
Yeah, ears, yes. And so you just start preparing for what you know is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can prepare now for this God check. And let me tell you, if you prepare now, there'll be a grace in your life that even though you have things don't have you. And so if they disappear for a little bit, if you're without them for a little bit, and you can brace yourself, like we've been talking about, you can listen to Brace Yourself, you know, on your application and highlights or on the VFN Torch, and understand that you can prepare yourself. And one thing is just begin to deny yourself. You know, pick up your cross and begin to deny yourself. Because Jesus said if we don't do that, we can have no part of him. Despite what all the American major majority gospel is, you know, that we have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him. But we can only do that through the empowerment of the cross. But we have to at least entertain the probability mm-hmm. that I may have to say no to myself.
you know, and say, God, I want to put you on the throne of my heart, because I may have you on 1 hour of 1 day of the week right now. That's where I got you, get that part of my life, but you don't have my every day. You don't have my every hour, you know, and I want you in the center of the throne of my heart. You want to invite him in the throne of my heart. And so you can begin to prepare yourself now. Listen, it's a lot better than walking right straight into boot camp out of shape, you know, and all this stuff. You just have the shock. As a matter of fact, I know somebody right now that they went straight from that kind of mindset into this whole guarded, you know, cushioned, you know, naive life, and they went into the Navy. And they just went in shock. They just went in shock. I'm in the Navy boot camp. Come on, you know, the Marines are going, really? Is that possible?
They give you a nice hat and a nice, you know.
Yeah, they were just in shock. I mean, they could not believe it because they did not prepare themselves for it. And they kind of went catatonic almost, you know, and had to go through this whole process. And it's like, that's what's going to happen. You know, there's a God check about to happen. God's going to take you personally, maybe, or us as a people through a wilderness experience to reveal to us what he already knows is inside of us that we might not yet be aware of, and realize that God only reveals things to heal things. He's not, you know, going, look at you. He's going, oh, I'm glad you noticed that. That's been around for a little bit. You need to go ahead and do away with that, you know, and then you got to go to him and say, Lord, you know, and you repent. This is the message that's not being preached today, is repent and be baptized. I mean, that was the first message of the church. And repentance is not a analytical decision. Repentance is changing not only your mind, but your heart and your direction and what you're doing with something. Now, that could be done in a decision in one moment, but your understanding of the cross of Christ, which needs to be available on VFN TV, cross of Christ and the dependency factor, is that you'll be empowered to walk that out by God. I mean, he requires something of us to do that we can't do outside of him, but we have to make the decision to do it before he will empower us to do it. And then we have to put our faith in his finished work on the cross that releases his spirit to do it. So what that's called is abiding with God. By hanging out with God and trusting him in this, we can do this, but it's together. It's a relationship. And so if you have not yet, you know, learn how to abide with him. And it's very important. And there's a definition of abiding. I mean, and this is our definition of it. This kind of just explains it in a nutshell, is that you're hanging out with God on a regular basis. You're hiding his word in your heart. You're reading his word. You're reading it. You're reading the Bible, not people's viewpoint. You're reading the Bible. And you're hiding parts of that word in your heart. You're memorizing it. Why? Because he says, thy sin, thy word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. So by hiding, spending time with God and reading his word and memorizing it in our heart, it helps us to say no to sin and identify sin, because the word is the truth. And so if a lie comes our way and we have the truth, we can go, I know that's a lie because I know the truth. And then we talk to God. Prayer is talking to him. And then we share, you know, our needs and what's going on. And then we listen to God. We just don't talk at him and leave. We listen to him and what he tells us or impresses on us to do. And we write that down, by the way. And then we go do it. And that's abiding. And we have a simple plan for you to do that. If you presently do not have a simple plan, or, you know, we have one for you. You can request it for free right now. You can go to iabide.org and read over a little bit, but you can request it. It comes instantly to you. Got a little simple little a video to be able to show you, you know, it's, and it's very basic. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. And when you do, we have evidence from all age groups and all people across the land, different types of people, that if you'll apply this simple plan and do it with the right heart before God, God will meet you there. You just hang in there and watch God. And do it for 6 weeks. It could say, you know what, I'm going to take 6 weeks out of my life. It takes 40 days to develop a habit, right? So they say. So just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm just going to do this for 6 weeks. And it tells you how to do it. It gives you a good plan to do it. You know, a lot of people want to do it. They just don't have a plan to do it. They need a plan to do it. And that's what that's about. It's iAbide. You think about it, you got iPads, you got iPhones, and you now you have iAbide. So go to iAbide.org and get your plan today. We'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because you gotta listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, God has called us to be salt. As a matter of fact, he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, this is Jesus saying, and he's saying what God told him to say, because he said nothing unless the Father told him. He said, talking about believers, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Which is a huge doctrinal explosion, right? Mm-hmm. You can't, once salt, always salt. You can't lose your saltiness. Mm. It says, this is what he said. You are the salt of the earth. And if you're a believer, say, I'm the salt of the earth. Listen to this. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. I mean, think about it. I mean, there's three things that salt do. When you think about salt, I don't know if it, salt preserves. Mm-hmm. It preserves for years. You know, that's how things were preserved. Meats were preserved for years by smoking and by salt. And they would just pack the meat in the salt. Mm-hmm. And it would just keep it from bacteria, I guess, and all this different. It would just preserve. It would preserve things. And that's why probably a lot of the foods that we buy have high sodium content in it, because it probably preserves, you know, a lot of those things that's going on. We've eaten so much salt, I think it's preserving us.
Yeah, right.
But there's something else that salt also adds and brings out the flavor of food. I don't know if you've ever eaten food without salt on it, but it's like, is all food the same? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, right. Without salt, it's like, I don't think there's any difference between anything.
Bust out the salt, yes. Yeah.
But think about it. I mean, why would this food taste the same as this food when they're not the same food? I mean, why would it be that way? But and it's interesting, when you add a little salt to it, then it tastes different than the other food. So it just brings out the flavor of the food. And so salt adds to or brings out flavor. When you think about, first of all, when salt preserves, then Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth, that we're called to preserve the message of the kingdom, the church, and to be of the message of hope and love, and that God desires to dwell with men. And we're called to preserve his message, his truth, the church, just in his soon return. We're also called to add to and to bring flavor to life. Understand that life has no meaning outside of God. That's why when, if you read my testimony, I tried all these different things. I'm trying to find in it, but there was no salt in it. But I had one particular friend of mine in the Navy that would always, he was a Christian, he would talk to me, and what he would do is sprinkle salt. He would just sprinkle salt. And it just drew me to God, you know, in his life. I didn't make a decision then, but it drew me to God, and I kind of followed him because he just sprinkled things here and there. Of course, I sprinkled some of the world back.
Right. You did.
It was terrible. I'm like, yeah, I heard your singer on some secular station.
Oh,
isn't that terrible? That's terrible.
But awful.
I wasn't as bad as Pat was. And but you know, it's just, think about it. It's just you just, salt's meant to be sprinkled, and what happens is that life has no meaning without salt. So you can, even though somebody does not even know God, that you are supposed to be that sprinkling in their life to make them aware of God. And that your very presence in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace, in your community, in your state, in your nation, causes people to be aware of God and to bring flavor out of life and meaning to life and purpose and direction and vision. And they'll keep searching this after this after this, but they'll remember that what you have has brought flavor to life. It's brought purpose to life and destiny. But you have to remember this too. The last thing I want to talk about salt is, salt aborts. Too much salt aborts. Remember, salt's meant to be sprinkled. I guess yesterday was the 40th year anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and over 55 million children in America have been aborted. Well, a lot of those abortions were done by salt. They would inject salt into the woman's womb, a saline solution, a salt solution, and that would cause the death of the baby and cause the baby to be aborted. And you have to understand, is just because we know something doesn't mean we should say something. That you can, as a new minister or a new Christian that's desiring to go out and just advance the kingdom, sometimes you have a tendency probably to just abort an opportunity, abort a word of knowledge, abort a person who was about to be born into the kingdom, or a brand new believer, like Jesus said, you go all the way across the sea to win a convert, and you bring them back, and then you put so much on their back that they can't even lift it, and you don't lift a finger to help them. In other words, they aborted what they put on them. They aborted that birth into the kingdom, and he said, "You made him twice as much a son as hell as you." That's what he said. But understanding that salt has to be used, but it has to be used carefully. And he's telling us we're the salt of the earth, and that we can't just just because we know something, we shouldn't say something. And, you know, there's people that crank off like, yes, Leviticus 12 and line, you know, go back to property. It's like, oh my goodness. Mm. You got this number thing down. Do you know God? You know, you're cranking off numbers left and right, proving, you know, just, you know,
that you know numbers,
aborting, you know, my thoughts towards you. that, you know, people are feeling really intimidated by that a religious spirit like that. And that you got to be careful, that take your time and be patient and long suffering. And it may take, as they say, you can tell me, John, who says this, but seven times, statistically, they say seven times you have to sprinkle testimony. Larry Tomczak, that people, most people that do make a decision for God has made it after seven times of hearing about him and mm-hmm. testimonies about him and encounter with him. What does that mean? They've been sprinkled seven times with the love of God and, you know, miracles and whatever that is. But understand that if you can abort it before the other six times come up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is just send a verse of scripture to someone and say, I'm thinking about you. Or just say, I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
Or pray for them. Or have a cup of coffee with them and just be light. And we'll talk more about that in the future. But it goes right from salt to light. And it's like, not only we need to be salt, not only are we the salt of the earth, but we are also the light of the world.
Right.
And so we have a responsibility, you know, before God to be the salt and the light. And think about it. He says, I'm just going to talk about it. He says that we're going to finish this up after the break. I'm going to talk to you about the light, because we're called to be the salt and the light. Jesus says, when he's talking to his followers, he says, you know, you are the salt of the earth. When you think about it, that salt really does three things. It preserves, and we're called to preserve the kingdom, preserve the church. Salt also adds to or brings out flavor in something. And also, too much salt aborts. Mm-hmm. And not only does it, you think about it, as we talked about, even aborting, you know, that it'll abort life itself of adults, because they say if you're eating too much salt,
yeah,
it takes your life out. Your blood pressure goes up and then your life ends. But yet it was good in moderation, and you needed it to be able to have a zest in life and some a flavor of life. But too much salt will abort your own life as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But then he also says, and he says, this is what Jesus tells us that we are. And, you know, so many people need to be sprinkled with salt, mm-hmm. salt of God's hope and love. And it just changes their life forever. But also, then he goes on and says, you are the light of the world. I mean, think about it. You're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's huge, isn't it? When we're standing in darkness and screaming at darkness, and we're Christians, and we said, no, wait a minute. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Why are you screaming into our darkness? Why don't you just shine your light?
Right.
Think about it. Why should we scream at darkness if we're the light?
Mm-hmm.
And we're the light of the world. You should be able to take a believer around with you, and everywhere you're going, no matter how dark it is, you should be able to see your way.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcast. If you're a believer today and you're saying, you know, I hear you, I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. Mm. You know, say you're tired of sitting. You want to get in the game. You want to do something for God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU, VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, .org,
mm-hmm.
and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religions made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught.
Right.
And it's not just a university. VFNU is not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed mm-hmm. God. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused on the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy,
you're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. You know, that's what it should be. He says, you're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Listen, if we're saying, listen, nobody's acknowledging God. Nobody's praising God. Like I said yesterday, you know, people in the 50s who didn't even know God feared God.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? But Christians were letting their light shine.
Right. Yeah.
They were shining their light. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who's in heaven. So we want people to start acknowledging and praising God. Then we have to be that light. We have to begin to do what's right ourselves.
Yeah.
And when you think about light, that's just so important because without it, you're blind.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, you're blind or you're living off someone else's light. And, you know, David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet, it tells me where I am, and a light unto my path, it tells me where I'm going. When I take God's light into me, the word into me, and Christ is in me, when I just allow that to come out of my life, I just share what's happening in my life. I share about what God revealed to me, that maybe that day in my abiding time. Maybe I share about a testimony, how God moved, or I just go help somebody in a time of need, bringing them shelter or clothing or something, and just whatever. By doing these things, that's the light of God shining.
Mm-hmm.
That's the light of God shining. That's what he's called us to do. And he's thinking about it. Do you think about this. This is, I already believe the Lord would say, that he's, well, I don't know. This is what I'd say. Did I do all this in your life so you could hide this light?
Mm. Under a bowl?
Under a bowl?
Mm.
Did I, you know where I got you from. Do you think I did all this so you don't shine this reality on anybody else? That you don't tell them your testimony? That you don't? Do you think I provided for you and took care of you and you're not going to tell anybody about it? You're not going to let any light shine? Do you really think that I meant for this to be hid under a bowl? You're the light of the world.
Mm.
I really believe that's what he's saying. You're the light of the world.
Mm. Yeah.
You're the salt of the earth. Life has no meaning without you sprinkling the truths of God's realities upon them and shining the light to let them know where things are at and acknowledging God. They'll do that when we actually begin to be the light of the world. I mean, how many times are we guilty of screaming or hollering at darkness and realizing, you know what, we just need to be the light. Dark people can't be light.
Right.
You know, people that walk in darkness can't be light. And the whole thing is that we can actually sprinkle the salt of God's truth in their life by just being there for them and helping them out. And, you know, one thing that I love to do, and it's just it's in me, and I encourage other people always do, is, you know, there's a time when you don't have a job and you're looking for a job and you know how to do it. And but there's a time when somebody else doesn't have a job, but a lot of people don't think about, hey, you should always be looking for jobs because you can hand them out.
Mm. Yeah.
That's right.
You can hand them out. You should always look for jobs. Not one good, you got yours, but what about 23 million people in America who don't have one?
Mm-hmm.
That how loving and kind and how much light is that when you said that you prayed about, you know, about finding a job and God revealed this job to you and you hand it to somebody?
Mm.
That's, God just gets glory for that.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, what they do with it's up to them. But the fact is that, you know, God says, I'll bless the work of your hands, and that he can just bless somebody with economy. But something as simple as like, you know, I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to look for jobs for people, and I'm going to pray that God would lead me to people who need them. And it happens all the time. I think about, you know, Brett in Denver. I mean, he was able to mm-hmm. to lead a friend of his to a job. And I think about so many. We've done mm-hmm. that so many times, haven't we?
Just, oh, yeah.
So many jobs. That's really cool. I mean, think about it. Because when you lead somebody to a job who is a worker, that's food for them. That's shelter for them. That's a future in regards to being able to survive in their present nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a lot, because you're leading them to, you're not fishing for them. You're teaching them how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're just saying, here. You know, most people are trying to step over people, trying to get promotions and jobs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it will blow somebody away, and it does. In their thought life, when you start saying, you know, I was just praying at just this job right here for this particular agent or whatever, that you're supposed to have this. I mean, how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
And that's what great. God does. God provides for us.
Yeah, it's a great witness, you know, because a lot, like you said, a lot of times everyone's looking for out for themselves, but it's a great way for us to be able to share with others, you know. And listen, if you help me with a need, you know what I'm saying? If I don't know God and you help me and you tell me you were praying for me, and you not only prayed, but you actually got, you know, invested in me, and you actually went and searched and maybe looked and came across and you shared that with me, dude, I'm open to hear anything else you got to say.
Right. And if I shut you down about a month or so, I'll remember down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
That it was God that led me to this job, and he used you to do it. And, they'll probably even be in their meetings going, you know, this job was brought to me. It was, you know, somebody had prayed.
Undeniable.
Right? Undeniable. And they become a witness for the glory of God.
Yeah.
Right. And it really is better to give than receive. I'm telling you, I encourage you to begin to believe God. And tell me, why wouldn't God make a job available to you if you're actually going to give it to someone else?
I'm just thinking about the woman that we shared about the other day on the program, that she got so blessed. God was, there was so much light being shined on her, that the Lord blessed her with a car and with a job.
Right.
On her birthday.
Best money in town, best hours you need, paid her bills, did everything. Yeah.
And that's something that she'll never forget, no matter right. where she goes, that God was the one that did that for me.
Yes, yeah. And so I encourage you, as we're coming to the end of the first hour, to do that, to look and ask God, say, God, help me, give me a job that I can give to someone else.
You know, it was just amazing. Earlier when you were talking about being the light, reminded me of something God was speaking to me about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, in 1 John, the word says that this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light.
Mm.
In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin.
Wow.
You know, I just thought that was just so powerful. And
but that's how we're the light of the world, not just being existing, right, but actually walking with God.
Right. It's walking with God, and the light is God's word. You know, and he just, as I meditated on it, he just began to talk to me. And, you know, I had mentioned this yesterday, but God tells us to write his commands on our heart. And this is why we are to abide. When we abide, you know, he was telling me that this is what is meant by walking in the light. The light is God's word, and will keep us, and will keep darkness from us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is for there is no darkness that is in God. Therefore, darkness will not be in us.
There's protection in right. walking in the light.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. You know, therefore, darkness can't overtake us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as we're walking in the word and in his light.
So it's not our own light. When he says you're the light of the world, really, it's Christ's light in
us. Right, it's his light shining through us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just what's so important, and that what we need to stand on, and that it's his word. It's not our word. It's not our light. It's his light.
Uh-huh.
You know.
That's really good.
Yeah, you know, so it's just very powerful. You know, and it took me to Psalms where David says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You know, God will not listen to us if we do not abide or if we do not deal with the sin that's in our hearts.
Mm.
You know, the sin is the darkness. You know, it's just, right. just so imperative to, you know, continually deal with that and cherish God's word in our heart.
So darkness chokes out the light.
Darkness chokes out the light.
Wow. And it's why you say, you know, you don't want to play with sin. You don't want to take things into your eyes. It's ungodly. You don't want right. to do this because you're choking out your light,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's, wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So being the light of the world, that really goes right in, like you're saying, with that, that's Christ's light shining through us.
Right.
Wow. So cool. So awesome.
Yeah.
And he didn't do all this in our life for our light not to shine or his light not to shine through us.
Right, like you were saying, we're not supposed to put it under a bowl. We're supposed right. to be out there letting God's light shine through us into other people's darkness.
Right.
You know, instead of screaming at darkness, it's our light that penetrates.
Wow. Like Tommy Tenney said, he said that Jesus has this idea that church is all about him. I love that, you know. In God Chasers, he's talking about it, that it is about his, we were lost and undone without him. We were in That's utter right. darkness. The light shined in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not.
Not.
And so when we walk into darkness, we're allowing Jesus Christ's light, his light that's in us. When we open our mouths and we do what we do, that's allowing God, you as a Christian right now, when you do that, your light's shining. And people don't say, hey, just thank you for shining on me. They don't just be able to walk up, but listen, they feel the presence of God. They, the Holy Spirit works in that whole situation. And it's not about how we keep up with what happened with that person. Understand God will accomplish things in their life that you might not know about just by you being the light. So many people are trying to do something that looks religious, that lines up with the religious folks of the day,
mm-hmm.
and versus saying, you know what? I'm supposed to be light here. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And if you'll be light in the midst of that darkness, there'll be people that come to the light. They'll come to the light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you'll find out, my goodness, I don't know what that was, but this is good. I like what God is doing here.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Taqueria Ogni's authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. The Coffee House. If you're looking for a great cup of coffee in a warm setting and nice leather chairs, they even have a fireplace. Freshly made sandwiches. Also, if you're looking for a place to meet or business meetings, they have a great place for you. Go visit them today. The $50 Eye Guide, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit the $50 Eye Guide today so you can see.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.